This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
God, I can't even hit that high note anymore. Hello, you know who
you never could, really.
Well, I'm wearing loser shorts. Hello, Houston, Galveston, the world. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, and then you know the rest of the stuff.
Who are you?
I'm not giving out my name. The FCC's listening. This is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. See, you have to say that. It's my lead-in.
I thought you picked up your... I thought we talked about your lead-ins there next week on the Levitt line.
No.
We started this show off with choral music, so it's time to wake up.
Yes. It's Seattle Men's Chorus with Christmas Comes Anew.
And this one is... The Gay Men's Chorus on the CD called Christmas Comes Anew.
But the New York City Gay Men's Chorus, right?
Yeah. So is that what I said?
No.
What did I say?
You just left out the New York City. And that was number 15.
The Big Apple Queers, and they sung Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yes. I say that because it seems that most of the queer Christmas music is choruses, either men's or women's or mixed or whatever. And I have quite a bit of it, much to Chris's chagrin. However, we do have other things. You know, he's been playing his favorites this month.
Well, the first week,
yeah,
when you weren't here. Coincidence? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Oh, anyway. But we'll have lots more Christmas music throughout the show.
I got tired of the feedback.
Profane and otherwise.
Don't we have that one? Isn't there a prisoner one we had before?
Perhaps.
Cellmate thinks I'm sexy or something like that.
That's not queer.
Yeah, but it's Christmassy, isn't it? Gotta do something for our MBBs. By the way, my apologies I want to extend. We got letters from MBBs last week, and we forgot to talk about them.
Oh, I didn't.
What, you didn't forget?
No, I talked throughout the show.
About the MBB letters?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. You someone forgot to wake me up.
Oh. Well, some of the things going on around town, and there's a lot. You know, this is December, this is the holidays, and there's lots of fundraisers, big fundraisers, lots of celebratory functions going on, but something out of the ordinary that is brand new is Queer Bingo is here. Yes, folks, this is, we now have Queer Bingo over at the GLBT Community Center. This month's theme is We Need a Little Gayness Right This Very Minute. It's hosted by the ICOH Gemini Empress Chanel Cartier. She will be calling numbers and doing a little, there's going to be a little impromptu drag going on. And that's happening tonight, Saturday, December the 15th at 6 p.m. Doors open at 5 over at 1415 California, same building that houses the Pride offices. And it's a $15 buy-in, and their prizes are $50, $100, and $250. Door prizes, giveaways, and a raffle. Lots of fun, gaiety, music, and a show. And a cash bar. So, that's going to be a whole lot of fun. They're going to do it once every month. They've got all their licenses and everything, finally.
They're giving out cash at the bar?
Yeah, well, depends on what you do for it. Anyway, that's one of the things going on. Oh. Oh. And,
Oh, good. He's what? I'm glad he's pointing the camera in that direction. Oh, I was scratching my nose.
Well,
we're all a little under the weather right
good
now.
Good thing it's only your nose. Yes.
Let's go to music.
Oh. No. We haven't even started with this stuff yet.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
Yes. ICOH, Space City Empire, proudly presents the Emperor's Golden Jubilee. It is a week celebration that occurs every year during the Emperor's birthday. And the Emperor's birthday just happens to be Thursday, December the 22nd. So, tonight, on Saturday, December the 17th, at 8 p.m., there is a kickoff show. It's Turnabout 2005 at EJ's at 2515 Ralph at Westheimer. Turnabout is when the male line members get go and drag. And so, sometimes it's really scary, folks. See these guys in heels, and they seem to think they're still wearing combat boots. So that's going to be fun. Then Tuesday, the Emperor's Golden Bar Run starts at Keys West at 6:30 p.m. Keys West, located at 817 West Dallas. Then, of course, Wednesday is the Emperor's Jukebox Jubilee, and that's at Mary's at 8:30. That's Wednesday, December the 21st. Then on the Big Birthday Bash, Thursday, December the 22nd at 8:30 p.m., the Emperor's Revenge gives drag a new twist. That's at Mary's at 1022 Westheimer. And they're supposed to be in here tonight, but somehow I don't think they're going to make it because I know they're doing a benefit show in Galveston this evening. So, let's see. Other things going on. On Sunday, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. First of all, Keys West Christmas Party is happening Sunday, December the 18th, from 6 till 7 at Keys West, 817 Dallas. And following that will be the Face of the Year pageant. Yes, all 12 Faces contestants compete for the title of Face of the Year. That person receives a crown, sash, and a spot on the next Gay Pride Parade with special guest judge, ABC 13 news anchor, Stephanie Guadian. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can always count on it's come through.
If it even remotely sounds Italian or Spanish, I'll probably know.
You'll know. Now, something else
just
going on.
Just use that limp wrist action there to get the accent
right.
Yeah,
there you go. It's Guadian. It's like,
yes.
That, you know.
Sunday, December the 18th at 8 p.m. at the New Barn. That's right in back of Chances. A Country Christmas, a world-class show and silent auction put on by TGRA, Texas Gay Rodeo Association. And that the proceeds benefit TGRA Houston 2005 Charities. Also, the Cult 45s have their old-fashioned Christmas, country Christmas show at the BRB on Sunday, December the 18th. And they have a buffet dinner at 7 and a show at 8 o'clock. And lots of prizes and presents to give away. And you shouldn't miss the annual tree decorating contest and auction. Different groups have decorated miniature trees, small trees, 2-3 foot trees, and they auction them off. I've bought a couple in past years, and one of them is gracing my living room as we speak. It's fabulous.
How tall is this tree?
3 feet. That's not the regular tree.
I
have a full tree. Yes.
Where?
The dining area used to be.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, fabulous performers from the Houston and Galveston area, including the Cult 45's BJ Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year, past winners, and this year's winner, plus the Cult 45's Not Ready for Drag Time players. And there'll be several awards given out. The Danny Villa Community Involvement Award, the Cult Golden Cult Award, which I was most fortunate to receive a couple of years ago, and the BJ Summers Memorial Entertainer of the Year Award. So that's happening at the BRB on Sunday, 8 p.m. And I thought I had one more thing going on for Sunday, but I don't happen to see it in front of me. So, you got a couple of things over there?
No.
No? No?
The only things I'd saved from there was Queer Bingo, which you did.
Uh-huh.
And New Year's Gala, which I figured you have.
Rockin' Red Ribbon?
I don't know. It's from Judy. You know, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Judy.
Yes, this
is the Rockin' Red Ribbon.
This is the one, this is the event that's replacing the one that the Chamber has done in years past. Rockin' Red Ribbon New Year's Eve Gala. And that is sponsored by the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire, happening Saturday, December 31st at the Crown Plaza Hotel, downtown Houston. Now, there are two prices here. For the wine and cheese reception, four-course dinner, and five-hour open bar, $175. Open bar, which means you get there at 9 o'clock. That's for $75. Yes. Both prices include champagne toast at midnight. And we've got what?
Sorry.
Hello?
I was just, wine and cheese. Sounds like a gay event.
Yes,
doesn't it? And then it's like a lot of whining going on. And,
from a
and
bunch of cheesy queens.
From a bunch of cheesy queens.
Yes.
There you go.
But this is benefiting the AIDS Foundation, Houston, Baring Omega Community Services, the Cult 45's Charities, the Montrose Clinic and Lazarus House, and the silent auction proceeds are benefiting the Gulf Coast Archives and Museum. Actually, one archive. Gulf Coast Archive and Museum. So, if you want some more information, you can send an email to redribbon@spacecityempire.org, or I have a telephone number, 713-226-2220. And
I do have one item.
Yes.
Click.
Yes?
I'm waiting for it to open. I don't kill trees by printing off all my papers.
They were already printed. I tore them out of the Montrose Gym.
Oh, okay.
We'll blame someone else. Which is really becoming the best place for what's going on in the community.
That's frightening.
It really is. The BRB, of course, and
the tiniest publication is now
I know.
The best.
Mary's and Michael's are all having New Year's Eve parties. I mention those because those are the three bars that seem to be doing more fundraisers than any others. So I always like to push our fundraising folks. And while we've got our intrepid photographer here, I like for him to put a little word in about the calendar special he's got going.
Intrepid. Intrepid,
yes.
Yes, I'm out slipping and sliding on the nice dry streets tonight. Well, the calendars came in a week early, so the calendars are here. The groups need the support this time of year especially. There's a lot of people with a need for something extra to keep things going, keep the spirits up. When you're isolated due to health problems, sometimes it's a little rough this time of year. So my calendar is just another way to boost the four prime organizations. So Bering Omega and Montrose Clinic definitely kept busy this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
And keeping the history of what's going on with GCAM, and then year-round keeping the spirits going with Pride. So take a drop by the website or see me when I'm out flashing my camera around. But the website is Seowl, S-E-E-O-W-L. .net, because you got to catch an owl with your net, not bare hands. Besides claws, they have attitudes. So, a lot of things going
like
on.
Queens, that
enjoy
way.
The holidays and the parties, but don't forget there are a lot of people that are looking for a little support.
Yes. One other thing here on our calendar. Coping with the Holiday Blues support group. The holidays are going to be a stressful time for a year for everyone, especially with the rush, strained finances, loneliness, and dealing with one's family. There's a support group open to all people identifying as the GLBTQ community. The next session is on Tuesday, December 20th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, 701 Richmond, IOP room. No charge, but you will be asked for a donation. For more information, you go to montrosecounselingcenter.org or call Elizabeth Dodd at 713-529-0037, extension 312.
So, anything else?
No.
That was just hitting the highlights, folks, actually.
Well, you know, we're a bunch of queens. We only do highlights.
Is that gold or silver?
Oh, gosh. I hate to say it.
On that note, let's go to some music and regroup already.
Okay, works for me.
And
I see Dion is here, waiting in the wings.
And so let's just go to something peppy to wake you up and wake us up. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
it's Boys to the World?
Yes.
By the Go-Go Boys?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The Go-Go Boys, Gay Apparel, Xmas songs.
Yes. Well, we'll be having Jan Barlow with Dyke the Halls later on, I'm sure.
We've already played it once this Christmas season.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't play it again.
She kicked it off.
Well, how sweet. And we also have a brand new one. What's the name of that?
I don't know. I don't read.
Yes. It's Too Sporty Shorty. That's the name of the person who does it. And it's called Santa Claus is a Girl. We'll be playing that later on. Got that just this week. Actually, Santa Claus, when she says Santa Claus is a Girl, she means a big old drag queen is what she means.
And you know what? We should match it up with... My First Christmas as a Woman.
Yes, see? That would work with by the Vandals. Not a gay group, but certainly a gay song. And, ooh, being handed a whole bunch of CDs there.
Yeah, for
because Dion is here, and we hate to inform you folks, but this is her last show.
She can't comment yet. Her mics aren't on. Because she's still getting set up.
She's still getting set up. And we're going to do an intro song for her.
Yeah, well, there's that one. There's that one.
Uh-huh.
You got that open and close?
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay.
So open.
Right now I'm opening the CD. Then we'll open the segment.
Yes, folks,
if I wasn't
we
former Q Patrol, I'd open something else, but...
Oh, my. So, what are we opening the segment with?
This is Donnie, and song one?
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Okay, and welcome to the colored section, and we'll be back with Black on Black.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life. Sign your name on a blacklist and know this, it's American history.
Good morning. Good morning, Houston. This is Dion Redmond with Black on Black with our new voice, new face for KPFT's Black on Black, Christopher Evans.
Good morning.
Christopher and I laughing because I told him a couple of hours ago, you might want to get you that cup of coffee.
Yes, she did.
I don't need it.
I was big. I was bad. I didn't need to.
He over here struggling now, boy. Good morning, Houston. We are so excited. Let me say that tonight will be fabulous music and a year in review. Every year, every month rather, we come to you with fabulous topics that enlighten you, educate you, and I bring forth topics that affect the Black GLBT community. I'm going to go ahead and do a year in review tonight, just kind of give you an idea of things that we've gone over, and then we'll even highlight a few things that you can expect next year. You know, you have a new voice, a new face coming. This will be my last show. For those who have comments, of course, questions, feel free to give us a call tonight, 713-526-5738. We're going to go ahead and give you a taste of some of the music that we have tonight to kind of kick you off into the Christmas holiday.
Yes, yes.
And when we come back, year in review.
The night of the the dear Savior's birth. Lonely the world in sin and error, pining till he appeared and soul felt his word. Oh, a thrill of hope, the weary rejoices, for yonder is a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall on your knees. Oh, when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus rise we. Let all within us praise his holy name.
Good morning. This is Dion with Black on Black and Mr. Evans. Fabulous selection, Mr. Evans.
That was Smokey Norfolk, Oh Holy Night.
We're looking at choosing some good night. What influenced you tonight?
To do what?
Musical. What influenced you to get out of that bed?
I know. Because of the Christmas season holiday. I have a new nephew.
Oh.
And this will be his first Christmas. So I'm kind of excited about that. I really wasn't in the spirit, but then I thought about it being his first Christmas. So.
The humbug?
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Come on, Christopher. Yeah. That ain't never you.
No, it was me by humbug.
That's all right. But the baby just kind of...
Oh, yeah. The baby changed it.
Brought it out of you. Okay. All right. We got a nice selection of music. But to give you just a taste, a rundown of some of the things we've covered over the years, Black on Black is very proud of our topics, the current and the upcoming year. Let me say for the record, and I'll throw this out there a couple of times throughout the night, January 20th, 2006 is our next show. All right, so mark your calendar. I will no longer be with you, but fabulous sounds and topics with Mr. Evans. Please keep that in mind. Once again, if you have any questions or comments about some of the things we're talking about tonight, if you were a listener during some of our shows throughout the year, please feel free to comment as well. 713-526-5738. January 2005 brought us one of our guests by the name of Dina Gray, who talked about the new initiatives for HIV here in Houston. A lot of educational forums and different interventions that were taking place by Houston. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got a chance to talk about some of those things. Dina is an advocate in the community. Some of us probably know her, but by all means, when you look at the impact that HIV has on the Black community, new initiatives and new interventions and new strategies are truly, truly important.
Most definitely. We're looking at bringing for next year. Getting a little bit more in-depth into some of the reasons why we are still being careless with our lives, still having unprotected sex, still not inquiring of our partner's HIV status or their STD status, period. So we're going to be looking more in-depth to what type of mentality, what are some of the mechanisms that continue to plague the community that allow us to take chances with our lives when it comes to sex.
You know, what's interesting is that the number of AIDS cases that are affecting our younger population.
Yes.
You know, one of the comments that I recall from one of the shows is that from that show is that our younger generation, they had all the information out there,
mm-hmm.
but the numbers are still on the rise.
We have discussed that at some of the men's gathering meetings, and it's most definitely reflective of an self-esteem, self-worth, and validation issue. There are some emotional and spiritual elements that are going on that we have not addressed. We have all of the information, all of the clinical information, but we haven't looked at, again, some of the emotional, spiritual elements that cause us to put our lives in other people's hands. So we're definitely going to look at that in 2006.
And continue to look at it,
yes.
You know, in years to come. Some of the ads and some of the comments that were taken, one thing I remember coming across online was crisis in the Black community, in which it talked about the impact of HIV in the African-American community. Through June 2001, the cumulative number of AIDS cases reported to the CDC was 793,026 among Blacks. So, you know, those numbers are just increasing by all means. When we look at the age representation, you know, anywhere from 18 to 20 to 21, 22, I mean, the numbers, the gap is just very young these days. When you look at self-worth, you think, how do you think that plays a part?
It most definitely plays a part. If you're willing to engage in sexual intercourse with someone without protection and without asking them their HIV status, it definitely speaks to how much you value yourself. During a seminar, I asked people if they could name the last five people that they were with sexually within the first 30 days of meeting them. And those five people, or some people have less,
this, but of those five people, which person would you allow to use your toothbrush within that same 30-day period? And most people, 99% of the people polled, will say, oh, you know, I would never let him or her use my toothbrush, but you let them use your body. And so it's kind of like you hold your toothbrush in higher regard than you do your body. So some people don't like the analysis, but it certainly speaks to how we, in what regard we hold our sexuality, our body. Do we treasure it? Do we respect it? And a lot of times, if you look at the HIV rate, actually we don't, because we're taking a life threatening chance.
That's right.
A lot of us are losing.
That's right. That's right. Actually, this topic was so important. I ended up bringing it back in June of 2005 as well, to talk about some additional initiatives that are taking place here in Houston. You know, when you look at some of the comments that have been said over the years, as far as why is it that some populations are not getting this information, some of the comments were, well, because some of the ads and some of the commercials don't look like us. So what you found was that the initiative started to cater to having more African-Americans on the radio, more African-Americans in print, billboards, things of that nature. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you tell us why you think, you know, you're not getting this information. Okay, fine, we're going to come up with something to combat that. And sure enough, that's what we're starting to see. Houston has an initiative here where they were able to kind of go out and get all ages, males, females, to participate in some of those print ads. So actually, as you ride down the street now, you'll probably see some of those billboards, and they are in prominent African American areas. So Dana Gray has been instrumental in that.
We also need to look at implementing mentorship within the Black community. You have a lot of young Black gays and lesbians who are not, who don't have a role model.
Sure.
They're all, you know, 21, 22, running in the same path. And there's no guidance for them. There's no one there who can mentor them and give them some of the information, just some of the street knowledge or street wisdom that they would need in order to navigate in this lifestyle.
Even when I look at some of the new ads that are out there, yeah, they do incorporate faces from the lesbian community, faces from the gay Black community, you know, so that's a good thing. You know, so even if you're able to, you know, hook up with some type of agency that offers that mentoring, that's a positive. Was that Donald R. Watkins Foundation is still doing little programs?
I believe so.
Okay,
I'll
so yeah,
into that and find out.
Excellent, you know, mentoring, or at least just a good source in terms of getting getting tested. When you look at some of our stars that are out there, some of our name brand companies that are out there, Kenneth Cole actually just started a campaign of T-shirts, and on the T-shirt it has "We all have AIDS" or "We have AIDS," and you can order that online.
Okay.
And I think it's like maybe $15, and I just remember seeing it in one of the magazines. So "We have AIDS" or "I have AIDS," you know, something like that. You got to get something that's going to come across as powerful.
Exactly.
You know, so that wouldn't necessarily make one feel comfortable to read a shirt of somebody I'm looking at like, ooh, he's hot. I have AIDS. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do such drastic
types,
you know, to get the attention. So that was really good.
Yeah.
One could probably go on Kenneth Cole, just type in Kenneth Cole as a search mechanism, and then see if you could pull up that information. Or go to wehaveaids.com, or I think it's ihaveaids.com.
Okay.
I guess I should be more specific. but like I said, that was such a topic, powerful topic, that we brought that back for both January and June. Just in case we didn't know, there exists a HIV State of Emergency Task Force. One of our guests at that time, Amber David, who works for St. John's Church, he was on the show that day and really brought forth some new initiatives and also upcoming events. A couple of times a year you may hear take a loved one to the doctor.
Exactly.
You've participated in one of those? Or?
No.
No?
I haven't.
No.
I heard about it on the radio, though.
Yeah, I did, too. So those kind of initiatives are more of a, hey, help your brother, help your sister, you know. So those are things that the State of Emergency Task Force looks forward to doing. They also aid in finding housing for those affected with HIV. We're looking at getting medical assistance. Thomas Street Clinic tends to be an advocate, a resource, assisting with counseling, assisting with financials. I don't think we really would have any idea what it would look like for one to be discriminated against. To know if someone had HIV, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, our medical profession still have stigma and some negative myths or negative attitudes toward that population.
Well, we in the black community, we still have a stigma, and sexuality is still taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly fighting an enormous battle. We're trying to get over just the taboo of sexuality within the straight community.
That's
so it is enormous. It's a huge battle, and everybody actually has to.
We don't
want to
talk about that. That's right.
Oh no!
In the black community. Oh no!
Mm-hmm.
Oh no! I mean, we're talking sexuality. Shh. HIV.
No. Because the black community at large is still run by the mentality of the black church.
That's right.
And until we tackle that and bring that under some type of submission. We will continue to have this battle with HIV, because I think the church is going to have to answer to a large part of the HIV infection within the black community.
Major impact.
Yes.
Actually, to start that that conversation, we just recently had a dialogue going on about the black church. So Fresh Start actually had a dialogue the other day in which they talked about issues that affect the transgender community. So when you just bring topics such as the transgender community, gay lesbian issues to the church and have a forum, you're taking a stand right there.
Most definitely.
You know, so that helps. That actually took place a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had them on the show in March of 2005, where Pastor Jeffrey Campbell was on.
Jeffrey Campbell.
Fabulous church. Have you had the chance to worship with them?
Yes. For several months, I did. Enjoyed the service immensely. And I think they're in the process of moving to a new location.
Yes, they are.
Location.
They were located
on the second floor at the Montrose.
Right.
Community Center.
So now they're looking at moving. So stay tuned. Christopher may have some information for you next month to encourage you to attend Fresh Start. When you look at Fresh Start, do you find it is different than other churches?
Oh, most definitely. Fresh Start is an affirming church where sexuality is not an issue. And Fresh Start is not, contrary to popular belief, it's not a gay church. It's just a church that's very affirming, and it's inclusive.
Okay.
Not exclusive like many of the black churches are. And Pastor Jeffrey Campbell made a great point when he said a lot of black churches only tolerate their gay and lesbian members, and that he had grown tired, as we all should have, of just being tolerated. You want to be affirmed and loved. As long as you're singing in the choir and ushering and cooking pies and cakes stuff, then you're fine. But when you want to come with your partner and sit on the front row and hold hands and worship together, then there is a huge issue with that. So Fresh Start has eliminated that within their service. You can come with your partner, sit next to your partner, worship and praise with your partner there without feeling all eyes are
judgment,
on you.
Judgment, anything.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
All right.
So Fresh Start is a wonderful place to be.
Are you familiar with any other churches like that in this area?
MCC, of course.
That's right.
Other than those two, I am not aware.
Bearing Omega tends to have that same philosophy.
Okay.
You know, so that's really appreciative.
You're right.
Appreciative.
And First Unitarian Universalist.
That's right.
Okay.
Actually, Fresh Start had a guest church from Dallas a couple weeks ago. Forgot the name, but the pastor came down as well.
Bird,
so.
Alex Bird.
Right.
The pastor's name. I can't think of the name of the church, though.
And he brought a lot of his congregation down with him.
They always travel very heavily with him.
So what we're starting to see is that that type of church is really becoming something that's a force to be reckoned with.
Exactly.
You know, that's a benefit. I got the information. Thank you very much. We all have AIDS.com is the shirt through Kenneth Cole, $35. We all have AIDS.com. Very, very, very powerful shirt.
And you would wonder how different the world would be if that was actually true. Mm-hmm. How much more compassion and love we would show each other. And in fact, that was true.
Ask yourself, you know, what is your response for you to actually walk up to somebody and see somebody with that shirt on? What would your response be? Whoa.
I'd be kind of dumbfounded I am now that you've asked me the question.
Isn't that something? But it makes you think, though.
Yeah.
That kind of thing makes you think. I always found it powerful to hear the statistics that, you know, one in every 10 persons, if you're in a room, is HIV positive or has an STD. Mm-hmm. So what I found myself doing is going into a, if I'm in a crowded room, I get to counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. And for you to actually be in a room and do that, it's kind of like, oh, wow, this person here. So imagine if we're going to these clubs every weekend and these rooms are completely packed, go ahead and start doing the exact same thing and notice how your demeanor changes in terms of, you know, knowing that this person is who I'm interested in. Let me take this into consideration. Okay. We had some good conversations and surrounded by HIV and education. Once again, the HIV Task Force exists, Dena Gray, Houston Initiatives. If you have any questions or comments about those shows, feel free to give us a call. We actually had a call in from a gentleman who wanted to highlight research that's taking place on HIV, and he indicated to go to the RAND Corporation. RAND.org, and he mentioned that that was some really good research to be looked at if one is interested in educating themselves a little bit more about things about HIV. We're going to give you a little bit more music. Any calls, please feel free to give us a call, 713-526-5738. This is Black on Black with Deanna and Christopher.
Thank you.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. And now back to Black on Black.
That was Kirk Franklin, and Now Behold the Lamb. That Christmas CD, oh my God, came out years ago when I was with my first lover. It was like 1996.
That's all right.
And that has been a staple of my Christmas holiday.
I like that
music. The entire CD is wonderful. So when I have my Christmas party, which will be after Christmas this year.
Oh, okay. After Christmas?
It will be after Christmas.
It's a Christmas party, though, huh?
That will definitely be playing throughout the house.
I like
along
that.
With the Airwicks Holly. What is it called? Holly Green candle.
Did you get that?
It's wonderful. It smells really good.
You like that? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I keep on hearing these horror stories about some of these Christmas fragrances that are out, and it's like, I'm getting sick.
They're really good. Really good.
Welcome back. This is Black on Black. You're listening to Dionne Redmond and Christopher Evans. We're doing a year in review. We've had fabulous topics over the year, and wanted to kind of bring those things to the forefront to let you know where we're going, where we've been, and where we're going. Please give us a call if you've had a chance to listen to any of those, any of our shows, and you can comment 713-526-5738. Talent is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about that.
Man, I had the chance to have a talented gentleman on the show for the month of February, Mr. Aaron Coleman, who actually did poetry, in which I had the chance to pull up some of his information. Mr. Aaron had wrote a lot of poetry. Aaron's first book of poetry was called A Little Aaron Coolery. Sold over 600 copies in 5 printings. Aaron is here in Houston, originally from Chicago, but still is very active in the community. In Montrose section of Houston, he netted over $10,000 in terms of benefit for poetry and artists. So he's very, very much a fundraiser in the community. Mr. Coleman, you may get a chance to read some of his books or at least pick up his CD, but this one CD he gave me and I got a chance to listen to it was called Feel So Free, and it's spelled PHYLOSOUL Free. Philosophy. There you go. Philosophy. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
I lost you there. Okay, fine. but when we look at talent, I wanted to bring some of that talent to the airwaves, and he just did a fabulous job. Okay. Now, you know, one of the reasons why I told our listeners last month, that I chose Mr. Christopher to be my predecessor is because he, too, is very, very talented.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you the chance to toot your own horn, and yeah.
I currently have a manuscript that's under editing right now, and I made a mistake and had a friend edit that. And since she's doing it for free, she's taking her time with it. So I'm not pleased with that, but that's another time and another show. Title of the manuscript is Between Now and Then, and it's some of it's true, some of it's not, but it's about me and some of the people that I've encountered mixed in with some fiction in there. I let my mom read it, and she loved it. She cried and laughed, which is what it is meant to do. I also try to sing. I was in the military, and back in 1991, I actually did a single in Germany called I'll Be a Better Lover.
What?
And it got a little airplay, just a little. I think it cracked the top 1,000.
He said 1,000.
And I've tried poetry here recently. I wrote a poem after a couple of bad dates entitled I'm Tired.
That's some motivation going on here,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, so I'm looking here in the future in 2006 and bringing in a couple of poetry writers, a couple of artists, and we're going to go through some things.
Excellent.
So I'm certainly looking forward to that. I wish I could memorize mine. It was pretty good, too.
Was it?
Yeah, it was good.
Why don't you bring it here?
So we will be looking at that pretty much, I'm pretty sure, late spring, early summer of 2006.
We want to get a taste of that CD.
What CD?
The music CD.
It was one song.
So what? You got one song you can put on the airwaves.
I don't have to try to dig it out.
Oh, my goodness. Get
and it's
out of
so
here.
80s. I mean, oh. So, yeah, 80s.
That's okay. 80s. I think our listeners will truly appreciate knowing
I'm
the talent.
Sure
that's,
they would.
Yes,
you're
they
not
going
to have them throw an egg at me.
When we look at talent, there's lots of talent around.
Most definitely.
We've had a chance to bring forth the talent committee of Splash. I had Derek Miles on the show in April of 05, and he highlighted some of the new initiatives going on with Splash.
Yes.
For those who are unfamiliar with Splash, can you highlight it?
Splash is a yearly event of, it's a Black Gay Pride celebration. And people come from all four corners of the earth, actually, and it's grown larger every year. Derek Miles and Sean have done an excellent job of making a serious commitment to bring quality entertainment venues to that every year. So we're looking forward again to them doing a bang-up job again.
That's right.
In 2006, which will be, it's always like the last weekend in April.
Oh, right, right.
First.
Top of May.
Top of May. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every mm-hmm. year. So they always bring excellent entertainment venues. The scholarship
right.
was another new initiative brought on by Derek for Splash. And then the Fresh Start celebration.
To incorporate church.
Exactly. Which has actually grown and more Black Pride celebrations are incorporating a religious service for those who desire that, to participate in that in their Gay Pride celebration. So it has grown. And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe Houston may have been one of the first to have one. And if not the first, very well organized and a huge endeavor. And we last year we had Yvette Flunder, absolutely wonderful
that's right,
speaker.
That's
she
right.
was absolutely powerful
yeah.
and engaging in her commentary.
I think that's important. You know, I remember last year we also had that piece incorporating families.
Yes.
So
Celebration
Station,
yeah.
which is now something else
okay.
now. I think the name changed. But that was important because we tend to forget that a lot of our same gender loving couples they have families.
And so a lot of them have started adopting
exactly
children. So to incorporate the true sense of family within that celebration is absolutely phenomenal, and I'm glad to see that.
I was excited to see that too. When we talk about some of the new initiatives, the title of Splash this year,
2005.
Rebirth of Pride.
Yes.
That was a powerful title in itself. When you look at the promoters, Derek Miles, some of us may have remember his name. He's a former owner of Incognito, the club. Sean Dawson, native of Denver, Colorado, relocated to Houston and been running things in terms of Splash over the years. Very talented, very, very talented young man. So between the two of those individuals, Houston Splash is one to be reckoned with year after year.
And then they also do other special events throughout the year.
That's
like
right.
For Thanksgiving weekend, we had the what is traditionally in New Orleans. I can't think of the name of it, though.
Mardi Gras?
No, no, the football game that's traditionally...
Oh, Bayou Classic.
Bayou Classic,
oh, that's
thank
right, that's
you.
Right.
So they did a bang-up job
and they actually
on such a short notice.
I remember that. I
yes.
remember that. I got the flyers for that, too. They've been working in conjunction with a few things on a smaller level with some of the Dallas events.
Okay.
Because I've been getting a few emails on that. So, for the most part, those are our two contacts here in Houston,
yes.
Derek and Sean. But, you know, this thing is expanding. It truly is. One of the things you mentioned was a scholarship. That's important. That's important. How do you think the thought process of that came about? Were you at the planning table for that, or?
I can't remember. I think that I was, but I think what it was a push to show that the black gay community was not all about partying and getting together for splash to party and have a good time, but that we were really willing to invest in our future.
That's right.
Which are the young people that are coming up behind us, to let them know that we want to be here for them, that we want to invest our money and our time into them, and that we expect great things from them. So I think that was Derek's initiative or mindset behind that, to show that we're not just here for a quick party, but we're here for the long haul. And education is certainly a part of that. And we need to get our young people, our young gay and lesbian people, as much support as we possibly can.
That's right. A lot of organizations, not a lot, but very few organizations offer a lot of our GLBT youth any type of scholarship or financial assistance at all. So to have this put in place specifically, you know, at such a function, Splash, that is remarkable.
What you call it does it, though?
P-Flag does.
Yes.
Exactly.
Most of them. I went to a program maybe about 2 years ago.
That's right.
And the students had been given scholarships. You were there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very few organizations do such a thing.
Most
to actually, you know, give a scholarship openly to a gay, lesbian child, bisexual child, transgender individual. Yeah. Not many organizations are doing that.
Exactly.
So this is really a good thing. The requirements were a 2.5, an undergrad student. They gave away 4 scholarships, total of $500. Usually towards April, the deadline for submission is April. I encourage you, your listeners, to check out HoustonSplash.com if you're looking to get some information, just to give you a little taste of what Splash is all about. But once again, very, very, very fun, and not only fun, but informative and educational event to go to. When we look at some of the other initiatives, the gay film review also took place during that time.
And all the hype of Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to see it.
Okay, that's coming out.
Yes, it's coming out. I look forward to the day when there is a black cast in a movie of that magnitude. Right now, I think we have movies like Punks,
mm-hmm.
Which we're still waiting to come out on DVD.
Well, why is that?
You know, I think Ian Polk came and did a review of Noah's Ark earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he made mention at a private after party that it had something, that it was still under contract and had something to do with the music. So I'm really not sure what's going on with that. But there's also another movie, if anyone gets a chance. I believe it's on the Logo Channel, which is Ski Trip. Absolutely hilarious film, but has a lot of meat to it as far as something to walk away with.
Okay.
I saw that in Los Angeles. Black Gay Pride. Actually saw it twice. The Ski Trip. Jamal Evans is the director and also stars in the movie. Absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely great movie.
Okay. When we look at Tongues Untied, we got the chance to review that in May of 2005. So when you look at a lot of the videos and the movies that are out there, this is actually just the start. Our splashes, our different reviews, things like that.
Yes.
They are not reviews. I'm sorry. Different pride events. They're incorporating videos and movies that talk about it. Brokeback Mountain. This is excellent right here. Focus Features is going to present Brokeback Mountain Monday through Thursday over at the River Oaks Theater. They invite you and a guest to any regular showing of this movie, and this will take place, like I said, Monday through Thursday. So, hey, we were just talking about it. Get a chance to go out and see it. Once again, Landmark River Oaks Theater, located off of 2009 West Gray.
Which color would you like to give that to?
Oh, you know what? Thank you. You know what? I want to have caller number. I guess I can't go too high. Nobody's really up and at them. Caller number 5. Caller number 5, I got to admit to pass for you. Focus Features is giving a pass for 2 to the Brokeback Mountain movie. Monday through Thursday, you can go.
And the phone number to call is 713-526-5738.
I have my cell phone, Dion. Maybe we can go.
we're rigging this thing. We can call ourselves, I tell you.
The pass does not guarantee you a seat. It just means you get to go.
Got to get there early.
Please get there early.
We heard Jimmy had heard earlier from someone who went to the 6 o'clock showing, and they said they'd had nothing open until the 10:30 showing.
So and they actually, if you go to River Oaks Theater website, the times are like 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So I'm not sure how many screens they have in there. But
they only have three total.
Every screen is showing Brokeback Mountain.
Wow. Okay.
So,
well, giving passes away tonight.
Well, because it's the only theater in town that's showing it.
I know. Right. Why is that?
That's right.
I was sure Angelica.
I was too.
Me too.
I think there's a wider one coming out.
Oh, okay.
A wider...
excuse me?
release than what they have right now.
I thought it was going to be another movie, Big Boys Broken Mountain or something.
Oh. Now, I was watching earlier, Talk Soup was making fun of it, saying, you know, because some of the men might be have a little problem with the gay theme in there.
Oh,
they're going to make
Oh, please.
The joke they were saying was they're going to make a Brokeback Mountain 2 with cowgirls.
Oh, goodness.
Which, you know, of course, those straight boys all will flock to.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
There you go. We got passes here. I don't have a caller coming in. Boy, I tell you, this must be a late night. It's cold. Everybody, it's cold. Everybody should be indoors.
It is cold.
So I should get some calls going on here. 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. I got a pass for two for Brokeback Mountain. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little taste of some music. We'll come back. We'll go ahead and wrap up Year in Review with Black on Black.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Midnight clear.
On a midnight.
And
was Yolanda Adams. It came upon a Midnight Clear, her Christmas CD, which is another staple in my Christmas repertoire for, I think it started last year, mm-hmm. and for years to come.
Heavy selection of good Christmas music you got over there. Man, I let you handle the music, and you're not failing us tonight,
thank
brother.
Thank you. We have a winner for our Brokeback Mountain Pass. Nancy Davis is the winner of the Brokeback Mountain Pass at the Landmark River Oaks Theater, 2009 West Gray, with an admission of two. And we will be mailing this out to her promptly.
Sure.
So she can have that and make that trek over there.
Make sure you get there early. Get an idea of when the shows are going to start, because it's a popular movie.
I'm going to be sitting in someone's lap. It's going to be good or bad. You know, depends.
When you look at the type of movies that we've had a chance to review, Tongues Untied was one of them for the month of May. And now what you're looking at is a lot of new films that are coming out.
Yes.
There's a new transgender film that's out in studios now, and I'm not certain the exact title, but
Transamerica.
Yes, I've heard that's wonderful.
Man, this is what I'm talking about. You know, other new movies coming out. You got a chance to see it, Chris?
No, I've seen a couple of the reviews and the stories on it.
Okay.
I can't help but the one boy in there's cute, so.
Got your attention.
Oh, yeah.
Attention.
He's on the cover and the inside, the front page in the TXT magazine.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll admit it. But the one strange thing is, you know, you got the transgender movie, but you have a woman playing a man who's a woman. Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
I heard she does an excellent job, though.
Yeah. I've seen some of the parts there, and
yeah,
it's like one of those road trip movies where the transgender is taking three late high school, early college kids cross country to meet one kid can meet his father.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think that's what the general plot is.
Okay.
So think Chu Wong Fu, but with less luggage.
There you go.
But, you know, we're still looking for them to bring one of Elin Harris's books to the screen. And there was some talk about that a couple of years ago, and it has yet to materialize. And I'm sure one of the issues is finding black actors, especially male, who are willing to put their careers on the line. To play those roles, so you have smaller shows like Noah's Ark and Punks and Ski Trip where those actors aren't as commercial or out there. So I'm pretty sure if it ever does hit the screen, it would be something phenomenal. But I think Tyler Perry has certainly hit something, because he's playing a drag queen, and the black church loves him. And that was a lot of controversy that was brought up during that point, that the black church was going to support a drag queen, but you know, in the pulpit on Sunday, you would have devastated him.
But you know what they always say, entertainment seems to get a higher praise than,
of course,
day-to-day reality.
Exactly.
You know, so Tyler, yeah, he definitely made a mark.
Yes, he did.
To bring forth the issues, and actually he represents, you know, one from the transgender community, being the crossdresser.
Exactly.
Being, you know, we got the chance for the month of July and August to talk about issues affecting the transgender community. One of our guests was a successful transgender woman. She's currently a makeup artist for a company and tends to travel, and got the chance to come on the show and talk about some of her experiences and just how long it took her to get where she is, you know, and that's both emotionally and mentally and physically as well. A lot of times we tend to hear or not hear about our transgender community. They are truly, by all means, an invisible population. One of the things that I remember from the conversation is the lack of sensitivity from individuals in the community, from the helping profession.
Exactly.
I mean, We can only imagine.
I think that there's still some misunderstanding about sexual identification.
Sure.
People are still trying to tie that with your sexuality, and they're two different things. And until people are willing to become knowledgeable and learn and be educated about sexual identification,
mm-hmm.
Absent sexuality, you're still going to have that. And again, especially in the Black community, you know, homosexuality is something they're not willing to deal with. Transgender.
Oh, come on.
No.
Ooh, what?
You know, a lot of good Christian Black folks are like, if you're born like you're born, that's what God wanted you to be.
That's
and,
it.
And so you have all of that stigma still attached. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that again. Yeah. And I think we're going to delve into the Black church's response to its transgendered Christians in the community.
That's
so we're
going
to try to have someone from a traditional Black church background along with one of our transgender
Fresh Start actually has a couple of individuals from the transgender community at their church.
Yes.
You know, so you're looking at individuals who are praising and worshiping in the community.
Exactly.
And doing just fine. Doing
exactly.
just fine. When you talk about some of the issues that plagued us this year, gay marriages was one, and we had that conversation in September of 2005.
And I get tired of hearing the argument. I have a friend that I speak with, not on a regular basis, but he's like, you know, you all ruined the election with your gay marriage thing, and you know, we could have had somebody in there and it was lost on the gay marriage. I'm like, but he was like, that wasn't the time. When is the time?
Yeah, well,
just because we've looked at it as if we lost the election because of that doesn't mean that we picked an inappropriate time to tackle the subject.
Mm-hmm.
There never will be a comfortable or an appropriate time. You attack it when it comes to the forefront.
That's right.
And you know, it's not going to go away. It hasn't gone anywhere.
No better time.
I personally still would like the option of getting married to a person that I am in love with. So it's not gone anywhere. The fight hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to go back to the table, re-strategize, and then come back, and we have to fight a little harder.
That's right. That's right. No better time than the present.
Exactly.
You had a lot of organizations that were out there, plugging at it in terms of sitting at the table, coming up with different strategies and initiatives. The National Gay Lesbian Task Force, right around the time that the ballot was out, was in the process of planning a National Gay Lesbian Task Force, in conjunction with the Human Rights Campaign, in the process of planning a conference or workshop
mm-hmm.
At that time. But, you know, unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to get off due to the hurricane.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So we had a lot of good opportunity for education on the topic, and I think it was kind of halted for the most part.
Yeah.
When you look at some of the initiatives that have taken place as we talk about gay union, civil union, you tend to hear comments such as, you know, those individuals are forcing their views of marriage on every American.
Mm-hmm.
What's your statement? What's your comment to that?
My statement is that the construct of marriage is a biblical construct anyway, and you just cannot deny people that right based on, because it's a judgment of morality. People are making this judgment based on their morality and their personal viewpoint of what they think marriage should be, and it's not fair. And people should be allowed to marry whom they want to marry without people putting in their personal judgment of morality and what they think marriage is. But compared to 20 years ago, we're very
we've come a long way.
We never would have even mentioned about two women or two men becoming married.
Betty had a radio show on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the fight continues.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure within my lifetime it will happen.
That's right. That's right.
It certainly will happen.
We had, as we got toward the end of the year, we had good music for the month of October. But then we brought our new face and new voice into our picture for November 2005. As I wrap up my tenure And it's been years. It's been a good year and a half for me.
You've done an absolutely wonderful job. I remember the first time I met you. We were having a meeting. It was through the men's gathering. And you were phenomenal then. Your dedication and your commitment, your personality. You've just been absolutely a godsend.
Thank you, sir.
In my life. And you've opened up so many doors for me.
I appreciate it.
And you've encouraged me and given me information and provided me with resources that I just never would have had access to. And I want to personally thank you for your commitment as a human being to this struggle and as a woman.
Thank you.
You are truly a diva. The word is overused, but you certainly are in spirit and indeed in personality, in looks, in dress.
Not right now.
In every aspect. So I certainly want to thank you on behalf of black gay men everywhere in Houston. Thank you for your dedication and your fight and the struggle. And we can look forward to seeing you. And we hope and pray you much success in all of your endeavors.
Feel free to call me back at any time as a guest. You know that. You know that.
We most definitely will.
One of the funniest comments I have ever heard from you guys from the men's gathering was, Dion is the honorary female that can come to our meetings. She's the wife to all the men. So, I had a good time. I had a good run. I've been doing this since 2003. Mm. Brought on by our past host of Stephen Jerome.
Yeah.
I was going to say Stephen Jerome. But, you know, I've had a fabulous time and very, very proud of my choice in passing the torch. I've gotten a chance to know Mr. Evans, and I think he's going to do a fabulous job.
We're certainly going to try to walk in your footsteps and elevate.
Stomp me out. Make it happen.
What you started, we wanted to bring some hard-hitting topics.
There you go.
And just some new things we'll try in and out. And for the first part of the year, we're going to cover one of the first topics that we'll cover is masculinity versus manhood within the black community. And
sure.
We're going to sit down and discuss those points. And then we're going to discuss pornography addiction during the month of February. And then we're going to come back in March and talk about the internet, romance, hookups, and all of the other mess that you encounter.
That's right.
On the internet. So we're going to talk about those things, and we're going to have guests who have firsthand experience, a little bit more experience than they would probably like to have, but we're certainly going to talk about those areas because they are affecting our community.
Okay.
And so they need to be discussed, and we'll talk about them, and we'll dissect them.
I'm excited too. I'm excited for Christopher and the new listenership that's coming.
Yes.
Any ideas about how we're going to get more listeners or advertise a little bit more?
I think we're going to start a blog.
Sure.
There's a bug flying in his
head. What is he doing?
What is wrong with Chris? Is he okay? You know?
I thought he was going to be cut.
He wants us to shut up now.
There's a moth flying in my eye.
Okay. All right.
But one of
the things I was thinking, too, with the men's gathering online starting again.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Do you want me to say anything? Okay, thank you, Paul.
All right, then. Maybe a way to advertise and get some more listeners.
Most definitely. Mm. And so we will certainly be pulling from that resource.
Okay.
We're just going to, I think I want to do, for a couple of months, maybe we're going to do a little view.
I like that.
Format. No, I'm not going to be Star Jones. But we're going to do a little view format.
Okay.
And have some very good discussions. I think one of the interesting things is that the best discussion happens amongst friends in a very impromptu manner.
That's right.
And I think I have three individuals who that would certainly be a wonderful concept and would bring out a lot of different issues for us to discuss within the hour. And not to bring solutions, but to bring a seed and plant a seed in people's mind about changes or about getting involved in the community and leaving a legacy. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That is my passion.
It is
to encourage people to leave a legacy, something that will live beyond you.
That's right.
Most definitely.
It's been real.
Yes,
truly,
it has
been real. I want to say thank you very much, Jimmy Carper.
Oh, Dion.
Thank you, sir.
You have been one of the stars on After Hours. I have I've boasted about you to so many people that I know when it's your week, I don't have to worry about a thing.
There you go.
Because you're going to be here, you're going to be prepared, and you're, you know, it's just... You always have done a great, great show. So, Christopher, you have big shoes to fill.
Huge shoes. Unfortunately, and I think she usually wears flats, so it's easy to
<You know. laughs> I tell you, I've enjoyed all of my experiences. I truly have. I've gotten the chance to just have major leeway on the show. But once again, sticking to the mission that was passed on to me, bringing issues of importance to the Black GLBT community. So, and sticking with that, found someone who I know will carry on the torch as well. So, Jimmy, you will not be, you will not be disappointed, I guarantee you.
You know, looking back at your shows, just one example, you did something that no other host was able to do, and that is to get sex workers on the air.
Oh, man, that was fun.
That was an amazing show.
Oh, man. That show, July, took place, and actually the individuals, in that same month, two individuals who were featured on the front cover of Houston Voice, Paige Mahogany and Chloe came.
Yes.
You know, over the time, that I've been working in the community, for me to actually get to know individuals and get to know them so well that they will agree to come, you know, come on the show.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. That
was really was.
We had the most calls that show, too. Let me tell you. we had the most calls.
It opened up a whole new world out there that we just did not know.
Misunderstood.
Yes.
Invisible.
Yes.
You know?
That's part of what this show is about, education. I've been educated over the 18 years I've been here tremendously. I used to be one of these old preppy boys that hung out at JR's.
Oh.
And, you know...
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I gave that up. I discovered that I had a huge community out there that was part of my family that I was ignoring.
And you're in the program chair directorship, so you can really do some things. And I truly appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
You're very welcome.
Truly, truly. Thank you very much. I think we got some good things planned for the new year.
Good.
New approaches. Christopher has an intro for us and a conclusion for us. Every time you hear Black on Black, you will know it's time for Mr.
Yes.
Christopher Evans. Thank you.
Welcome to the colored section. Welcome to the Negro League. Sign your name on a blacklist and no list. It's American history. See what it is to be blackmailed.
Blackmailed.
See a real life. Sign your name on a blacklist and no list. It's American history.
Get fresh.
Yo, listen up. Oh, I want to tell you about what I got for Christmas.
Tell
all my presents.
Tell it.
Here we go. I'm going to tell you now.
Mercy.
On the first day of Christmas,
what
my true love gave to me, listen up, she gave me a whole year of therapy.
When does it start?
Well, the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
Well, and I got two dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave me four turkey basters.
Really?
Five Venus and... Oh, you are so lucky. Well, I only got two dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
On the fifth day of Christmas, well, I got from my lover
five dead dogs.
turkey basters.
Yeah. 3 days by music.
Lucky, lucky girl. I got two dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
On the sixth day of Christmas, oh, the woman of mine gave to me six pierced labia.
Who?
Five dental dams.
I got four sterile turkey basters.
And five
penises. Oh, no. And I just got those dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
What'd you get, Laura?
Well, on the seventh day of Christmas, I got seven vibrators
for
that
honey. Good. Oh, I got six pierced labia.
Five dental dams.
Look out. I got four turkey basters. We need
to
find. Oh, my God. Just got dogs.
So cute.
And a year of therapy.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave me eight menstrual sponges.
Eight?
Yeah.
Seven vibrators.
Seven. And I got my labia pierced six times.
Five dental dams.
Can I look? Oh, I got four turkey basters.
Yes.
Oh, you are so, so lucky. And I just got these little slobbering dogs.
And a year of therapy.
Day of Christmas. Oh my God. She brought to the house nine tattooed women.
Wow, I got eight menstrual sponges.
Oh, and labia that's pierced.
Ooh.
Five dental dams.
We're going to have that child with four turkey basters
and three dental
dams. Oh, they're worth a lot of money. Two dogs named Sappho
and a year of therapy.
Yeah. 10th day of Christmas, my lover is usable. Give me 10 hairy armpits.
You already got 10 hairy armpits. We got 9 tattooed ladies.
Thanks.
I got 8 menstrual sponges. I got long.
7 vibrators.
6 pierced labia.
5 dental dams.
She gave me 4 turkey basters.
Yes.
3 tapes by Venus Envy.
Venus Envy, Venus Envy. 2 dogs named
Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
On the 11th day of Christmas, oh my God. You know what I got? I got a whole closet full of leather accessories.
Ugh. 10 hairy armpits.
And then, of course, those 9 tattooed women.
I got 8 menstrual sponges.
Yeah?
And she loves me when I have cramps.
7 vibrators.
And 6 pierced labia.
Here we go.
5 dental dams.
Will you show me what to do with those later? I got 4 turkey basters.
3 tapes. 5 penis envy. I know what to do with them. Sappho squared.
Yeah.
And a year of therapy.
Well, on that final day of Christmas, with my mental health in mind, she gave me 12 step programs.
And of course,
yeah.
I got a closet full of leather. I'm happy.
Yeah, 10 hairy armpits.
9 tattooed women, thank you, Jesus.
Made menstrual sponges.
7 vibrators. And 6 pierced labia. And of course,
5 dental dams.
Listen up, we got 4 turkey basters.
Lucky, lucky girl, I've got 2 dogs named Sappho.
And a year of therapy.
Well, you know, they are at my house, and they're staying at my house. You guys got a really good presents, and nice to see the lady up here.
I want
to
know about those vibrators.
Well, oh, I can teach you about that. Could you maybe share with us later on?
Yo, this is not okay.
And, you know, those armpits are going to come in handy, hairy.
No, she loves me even when I have major PMS.
You know?
Even when I get cranky, she loves me.
Love that song, you know that.
She's got it, yeah, baby, she's got it. Yeah.
So are the dogs so talented. They are so talented. Oh, my God, what a group. What am I going to do with these dogs?
What a great Christmas.
Oh, boy.
So are there any belts in that leather accessory?
Of course there's belts, studded belts.
Okay, I'm going to pull that one off because that CD's horrible. Just some of the songs in there are good, some of them are bad, and that was one of them that wasn't so good. So, oh, let's go all the way down to here. Let's go. This is your listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
What difference does it make?
That was the What's It To You chorus, otherwise known as Christmas in New York.
That was disturbing.
Thank you. I believe in disturbing. That was from the Bob Rivers and Twisted Radio CD. Before that was Venus Envy with the 12 Gays of Christmas. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. And we're going to kind of go free form. I think we're doing some poetry here.
Yeah,
but
sure.
First, let me pull up this
wall. Where'd Jimmy go?
He's out smoking something. Or someone.
He's the one who told me to come in here. Now he's again.
Yeah, I know. He likes to run in and out. I've got another installation.
Well, since, you know, it's been so long since he's done the in and out that, you know.
Not that this is poetry, but they sent it. You know, canceled the Patriot Act. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
No, they didn't cancel the Patriot Act. They didn't vote to extend it.
Right.
There's a difference.
So it's still there.
But it'll eventually be gone.
Well, if they allow the sunsets to go through, but they're gonna work with that to add on to it, because the Democrats tried watering it down, so all the Republicans got their panties in a knot and all the other.
The Democrats then.
You know, they had to find some sort of fun. But then again, you turn around and you've got the new proposal of where they're intruding in on government, where the government's intruding in. They want to put a $1,000 fine on anyone who sells a video game or movie that's rated R or M-O for M-A for the video games. They want to fine stores $1,000 for every time they sell it to a minor.
Oh, what a joy.
And that was Hillary's doing, her attempt.
Oh, Mr. Clinton.
Yeah, let's see. I got to come up with this next story, because this will be the second installment in what I knew was going to be happening a lot of in Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage. We had another case of this. It's fun. Let's see. Let me get down here to the right. Story to click on. But, now, of course, my email's going to screw up at this point. I'll have to come back to it later, but we'll have it for you later. Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage. Yet another one of those lovely tales of a marriage that's allowed, but not for us.
Yeah.
So if you guys are going to do some poetry, some freestyle, or whatever we call it.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, your mics are on. My mic's off.
Well, yeah. He's trying to fall out of his chair here.
Wasn't exactly my intention.
No, of course not. But you were doing a pretty good impression of somebody trying to fall out their chair.
That was my intention.
I drug out the poetry book tonight because whenever I'm in a mood, and I haven't been feeling well, plus I'm in a mood, I drag out the poetry, which inspires me to start writing more stuff, which I'm sure will be forthcoming in the near weeks. Anyhow.
I'm just going to put some, maybe Christmassy type music. There's going to be light in the background just to cover over the hems and haws and page turnings and stuff. Warn you so you'll hear something in there.
The first one I want to read is something. I write a lot of stuff about people I know and people I care about. And this first one is called Crossroads. Sort of a mention to the place where I met this person. At the crossroads, where everything once so certain is now like walking on the shifting sands in an hourglass, the traveler stands. Before him, the future. Behind him, memories, secrets, enemies, friends, self-indulgence, the doorway for his eventual self-discovery. He has done a great many things. Some have brought sorrow, some joy. Careless actions sometimes caused pain. Every action, a temporary fix, a needle filled with artificial happiness. The rush of fleeting ecstasy replaced by the withdrawal of a sometimes Medusan reality. Now, the new road has been chosen. The traveler can no longer rely on the old way to satisfy his hunger. Change, life's only constant, a harsh master, forces his hand. Each path is paved with questions. What will be gained? What will be lost? Is this the right move? How can he be sure? Daunting questions might forge a chain of fears, holding him back from his destiny. Weighing all the costs, the traveler picks a road. A new adventure about to begin. Wherever it leads, whatever the perils, a move is made that best serves his future. When the world turns full circle, and if he should someday return to where the journey began, somebody will be waiting to welcome him home. That's it. That's that one. Yeah. There's one that Jimmy asked me to read.
And of course he's not in the room.
Yeah.
Again.
Again.
That flowed pretty well.
That
poem flowed pretty
well.
It seems like a lot of your poetry you write is meant to be performed, whereas mine's I don't
write it to meant to be performed. I write it to feel. As some emotion. Any emotion, you know? Sort of, I don't care if it's you're ticked off. I don't care if it's you're laughing, you're happy, you're crying.
So long as you're feeling something.
That's why I write the way I write. But I kind of feel like bad because apparently a lot of people get lost in translation because I kind of have a good vocabulary and I use it. I had a creative writing teacher.
Well, that shouldn't be an excuse.
Well, I had a creative writing teacher sophomore year who tried to ban my vocabulary because she didn't even understand it.
Jimmy's back in the house.
Hi.
What's up?
How was that fag?
Excuse me?
How was that fag?
No. I was in the production room.
Producing stuff.
Producing stuff. It's been a long time since he's produced things.
You
know? Yeah. Anyhow.
Who's
this?
You?
This one is the... he asked me to read this one because this is about a mutual friend of ours who is no longer with us. His name was Pete, and he was a giant among men who was all of about 5'2". actually, I think that might be giving him some credit tonight, but anyhow, it's called The Giant. He is a giant. His hands encompass 1,000 hearts. His word brings order to chaos. He has stitched countless memories, sewn the patchwork of lost lives. Often in his quest for perfection, impatience flashes its teeth. He knows that guardianship has its costs, and he has paid dearly for his station. Too many of those lost to the void once danced within his personal circle of friendship. For them and the many, this man remembers. Now his time draws near and others wait upon him. That diminutive stature, which once barely contained the power within, indeed seems delicate, fragile. His voice, once able to quake quilted walls, now barely has weight enough to disturb his own vocal cords. And the silence strikes like hammer blows. Yet as his life's book prepares its final page, he knows that another pair of hands will reach out, not to replace his own, but to continue the work already begun. That was about our old buddy Pete, who we lost several years ago.
Yes.
And he was a dynamo. All 5 feet of him would get in the face of anybody.
It was the power behind the Names Project.
Yeah. Which is where I met him.
Yes.
And many of my friends. Anyhow.
He was Mr. Names Project.
Yep. Yeah, he
and, was. Just an incredible activist for the community.
Yeah. So, we got one from Ozzy here.
Yeah, this is about my trip to Montrose on the bus, because I really like riding the bus, and it has some sentiments about things I think about when I walk around. It's called 82. 82 to downtown, when you're down with a frown, will water your plants and fertilize your soul. Do you stop to think of all the people on the street? Ever wonder what's the story behind everyone you meet? Hear her marvelous roar from Hillcroft to the end of time, where time itself sings. Give me a man after midnight, and the beginning whispers cold. Do you know how to get aquí? Corazón, it is muy frío. See you later. A driver knows where he's going. Does the 82 as well?
The adventure of riding on a bus.
Because I like to find the simple thing, you know, simple things that still tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. You find the good in even the most mundane things. It can, you know, keep your spirits up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The most mundane things are usually the most important.
Because it's the things you think about every day.
Mm-hmm. It's the things that make up part of you. Make up your personality.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, do we have...
Their turn.
Before he does his, let me let you know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
That would be KPFT Houston.
It's in the middle of there.
Mm-hmm.
Among the other 300 different ways we can say what our station is.
I don't think I should go next, you know. That's you just do the whole queer radio disclaimer and I'm the straight guy.
Yeah. You go.
This program
is for... We try not to hold that against you.
GLBT people. if you listen to the opening, it's for GLBT people and their friends.
I count, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You definitely count.
Of course.
All right. This poem is called Prestidigitation of the Heart. Desire sits in a heart unfolded. Eyes are hers that I despise as empty bliss. Settling gently on an empty wound and igniting newly awakened and unearthed passions. A resilient love without harbor nor ship and affecting the world through untamed and chocolated discussions. Yearning for late night film noir type setting after sunset. Standing under a lamppost on a dark street with a ripple confessing. To holy kisses yet to be kissed by lovers unbound by material time, yet still unsatisfied until late nights their calm candlelight to touch and feel forever, seeking an understanding gesture together in a garden of elemental attractions, closed in an internal symphony of velveteen memories and held adhesive to the hearts of an unwavering compassion.
Pretty. So,
velveteen memories, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice words. Nice. Don't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
it kind of ruins the mood for me if I keep coming interrupting and yelling, next.
Next. Yeah.
Well, we can't go unless you tell us. We're completely dependent.
Right. He only wishes that we're true. Okay, so. Here's one that, basically, I wrote about the day I found out I was positive. 10 years ago. It's called The Day Names Spoke. Patches of color, 6x3. Names of the fallen, families and friends, parents and children, spouses and lovers, unknowns given fame by their mortality. I stand sentinel over the lovingly crafted last monuments to lives ended too soon. A young lady sits by a memory of one she knew. Tears come, tears enough to fill a heart to overflowing, yet not enough to wash away her sorrow or her anger. This is all she has left, this piece of cloth and her memories. I can only hold her hand. No mere words could console a heart so embittered by loss so unnecessary. She is hardly alone. The room holds many such as her. People left behind. Hearts and minds hold all that remains of someone once still loved. A clinic that same day. My number is called. A man, harbinger of life or death, takes me in. Your test came back positive. I return to my post. I tell my friends and they hug me. I go on as if nothing has changed. I am not changed. I still walk and talk as before. Yet I am more aware now that the fates hold the thread of my life in their fingers. No scissors cut more precisely than those held by one of these three ladies. They weave the tapestry of my life, and it makes me wonder, will some earthly counterpart create a patch bearing my name? Will it tell him who I was, who I am? Can a quilt speak? Can it bear witness to the whole of one's journey in this world? Perhaps. For now, I am still here, and the story is still my own to tell.
Wow.
It's like, what do you say after that? I don't know.
It's just the whole idea of, you know, I'm a big fantasy mythology sort of thing, and it just seemed appropriate at that moment that, you know, there was the whole feel it, you know, here I was amongst these tapestries to people's memory, and you know the thread of my life hanging in the balance, you know, too. Anyhow, so, what do you got? Who's got?
You got something?
No, me? I just had that one.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you want to regroup for a second here, we'll step back. We'll take a little music break. If you want, if you need a moment to figure where you want to go with it next on that. So, let's go with Chris Williamson and Hard Candy Christmas.
Mm.
in there.
Jill Sobel, Merry Christmas to
festive little song.
Family. I got hooked on that song from a...
And a merry, blessed Christmas to you, too.
My parents used to hang out at the neighborhood bar out where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a live performer who would come in and sing, you know, those cutesy, funny little songs. And that's one that he sung. And the whole audience that was there, because they heard it all the time, year round, they always would shout out, "A box of tampons and some Marlboro." When you think of, I mean, you know, you have to look at it this way. A box of tampons, great Christmas ornaments, you know, they got the strings attached already.
Strings attached already. There you go. You're thinking big. Yeah. There you go. You're thinking.
Just stay with the white ones. And before that was Chris Williams. And,
not right.
Hard Candy Christmas. I had three versions of Hard Candy Christmas I found here. We had Chris Williams, which we played.
Mm-hmm. Which is really pretty.
And then there was a, big surprise, a choral version of it.
Of course.
And then we got RuPaul's version.
Yeah.
Which RuPaul's version is a RuPaul version of a Dolly Parton version.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is a little twisted in its own way.
Yeah.
This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Says I got that story up there.
Yeah.
And just 19 isn't showing anything yet. We'll go to that news story I was doing.
Yeah.
The second installment in our profiles in the sanctity of marriage.
What?
Our continuing series, Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage. Man faces 50 years for sex with his bride of 14. A 22-year-old man faces up to 50 years in prison after pleading guilty Tuesday to sexual assault charges filed after he impregnated and then married a 14-year-old girl.
Ooh.
Matthew Coso.
Obviously, this did not take place in Arkansas.
He ain't bad looking.
Or that's, I believe, the legal age for...
stick to the story,
in a way,
guys.
There.
Anyway.
No salivating, please.
Matthew Coso legally married the girl in Kansas after she became pregnant. The girl, 14-year-old Crystal Coso, gave birth on August 24th to a girl, Samara. Sentencing was set for February 7th. The case generated international media attention when Nebraska Attorney General filed first-degree sexual assault charges against him back in July. The groom is a friend of the girl's half-brother, and the relationship started when she was 12.
Ouch.
Nebraska requires people to be at least 17 before they marry. State law also prohibits people 19 or older from having sex with those under the age of 16.
If she had,
are you sure this didn't happen in Arkansas?
If she had her parents' permission...
That's where it comes up here. After the girl became pregnant, her mother gave permission for Coso to take her daughter across the state line to Hiawatha, Kansas. There is no minimum age for marriage in Kansas.
Oh.
But state law requires that anyone under 18 wanting to marry have permission of both parents or a guardian. If there is no parent or guardian, permission of a judge is required. The groom's lawyer said the girl's mother and the groom's parents approved of the marriage. The girl's father has not lived with the family for some time.
So what's the problem?
Well, the fact is that it was all started with a 20-year-old fooling around with a 12-year-old girl.
Well, yeah, I get that.
Then he knocked her up when she turned 14. And so this 22-year-old man, with the permission of the girl's mother, took her 14-year-old daughter across a state line.
Yes.
And got legally married.
But they brought suit anyway because they had sex.
Because he was too old to be having sex with her.
Okay.
The question I have is if they had the last name before or after they got married.
After they got married.
Just thought of that.
For the straight person, he's awfully damn stupid.
I'm not stupid. I was just making a comment, seeing how, you know,
they got married legally.
I know that.
Arkansas has nothing to do with this. They lived in...
What you're saying is the fact that they got married does not negate any of the other problems.
The fact
what the whole point of this was is the fact that the people in this show, for the most part, cannot get married. You've been in committed relationships, consenting adults and all that. Mm-hmm. Here's a 22-year-old guy who knocked up a 14-year-old girl, and they are legally married.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the sanctity of marriage.
I see where you're going with that.
Thank you. I saw I smelled a candle burning because there wasn't a light bulb going off.
Hey, hey, hey.
We now return to our regularly scheduled debacle already in progress.
That's so nice.
Next.
Love you too. So anyhow.
Are we going back to poetry?
That's the general idea.
Okay.
I came in, I was
Wait, hold on a second.
Hi. I was listening at home, and I've been trying to find my glasses for the past 45 minutes, so finally I was like driving half blind on the streets of Montrose to get here. But here I am.
And you are.
And I got Paul.
Just
David.
Just remember, there are certain words you cannot say, and your poetry has a lot in it.
That's about less than a tenth of a percent of my poetry,
okay.
If you look at all of it.
So I got all, like, political when the whole war thing started, and I wrote this piece, which I still haven't ever printed out onto a thing, apparently. It's still in its written form. It's called Georgie's Folly, just because I got really ticked off at this whole system. How far we have come in such a short time. How little we seem to have learned. In defense of freedom, it is taken from us in increments of paranoia. We speak brave vows of unity and remembrance, vows made hollow when washed down by a wave of hatred brought against those whose only crime was to be brown of skin and followers of Allah. Meanwhile, Georgie Jr. rattles his saber at a substitute Satan, a dutiful son obsessed with tying up daddy's loose ends. The line between our cowboy crusader and their militant madman is thin indeed. One given to mass murder, the other slitting the wrists of the First Amendment and using the blood to write the curriculum of the CIA. An Orwellian masterpiece of hate multiplied by a body count. To memorialize with compounded mortality. And 3,000 silenced spirits scream. So, yeah, I was in a mood that day. When it came to, you know, that putz, you know, our commander in thief. So... And I still think he's a putz, and I'm not afraid to say it. You know, we're supposed to have the right to say what we, you know, except, of course, for yelling fire in a crowded theater if there's no fire. Well, guess what? There's a fire in our government.
Yeah.
Our government's going up in flames.
Well,
that little piece of paper we call the Constitution... Somebody.
It's kindling.
Yeah, it's kindling.
And unless Halliburton has a fire department, they're not going to do anything about it.
Well said. Well, I got a couple poems.
Yay!
All right.
His turn.
This one is, I wrote after I had been in the hospital and a couple of different things were going on, mysterious things, but got better. So a lot of people helped me out. So this was written after the fact, so... O great kindnesses given me, only by these do I still live. These kindnesses that keep me from what would become of me. The hard times softened to sweetness by all the kindnesses shown me. These waves of generosity that crest over me to break all the bitterness in me. Every tender vulnerability taken care of. Oh, these great kindnesses given me, allow my surrender to the healing heart. I know not by what grace or merit all the sufficient kindness comes to me, but by each choice that has been made, by each one given to kindness, I see what this world may yet become. So,
ooh, that's nice.
And then here's another one. This one just sort of popped out. It's not really a lot. It's not like a lot of my poems, but you put your love in my front pocket and said, take care of this for me for a while. And oh, it burned a hole there in my pants pocket, but I knew it was not mine to spend. And when I wondered why you had surrendered your heart to me for safekeeping, I knew it was because you don't know how to love. So you feel better now without a heart, this heart that burns here in my pocket, safe here in my care. So this is how I love you. This is how I care. I take it with me everywhere I go. I keep it from despair. There's another heart in my shirt pocket. It rests there quietly, healing slowly, close to my own heart, from all the damage that it's done in all its wild desperation to be loved. It's from someone you don't know, nor never will, nor ever will. But someday I'll tell you the story of that heart and exactly when it's due to be returned. There's the bitter heart that rides upon my shoulder and watches over me while I sleep from a perch there by my bed, always on the lookout for the one true love it knows it's on its way. People give their hearts to me. It's always been that way. Though now I know how not to damage them, how to offer the refuge to the love, no matter what the condition of the heart, whatever state of disintegration or repair. Oh, this is the open secret of all my beauty that I always share. For as I hold your heart, I take it from safekeeping. I lift it up for you to see that there is all the love growing stronger all the while. Till someday soon, in this lifetime or the next, or somewhere far away, waking from a painful dream, we'll all know what to do with all this love that overwhelms us each and every day.
Very well written.
That was a special occasion when I wrote that one. I mean, it's just sort of, wow, where did that come from?
Right. It's like, that must have been quite a relationship.
No, it wasn't a relationship. I mean, it was just like out of a clear blue sky. It's not particularly about anybody, more just about, it's just kind of metaphorical about how my life has been, kind of. How I feel cool about relationships at this point in my life.
Very cool. Very cool.
I guess I'll go.
It's your turn.
It's called Exit Counterpart. After a very interesting series of follies in a relationship and how it finally ended. Adolescence existing at the station, maintaining uneasy presets as remnants of underlying causes neatly tuck themselves under the rug of mind, sometimes dawning as the old habits become anew, a grim foretelling of the impossibilities within. You're the days when lies were simple and guilt untainted, or when the wizard fantastic could still crawl images into your mental cleft. Now, unable to conceive the personification of culpability and broadening manipulation into an art of attrition, unwanted and left only to feel your own heart wilt and wane, recurring the dream and sleeping of a once serene, night is a time to remember the pain, ever prominent in its consciousness, devouring the sanity inside of our own wanting, and metal magnificent as we try to stay unstained, enduring the consequences of a once foul affiliation.
How beautiful.
That's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
I mean, well put.
It speaks volumes.
Thank you.
The, and
I got a more lighthearted one.
You're gonna, like, read anything else?
None
of his.
He's just here for interjection.
Yeah,
you could read
the I have a comical, well, I thought it was funny when I wrote it.
All right.
You know, I've written a lot of heavy stuff about HIV and stuff, but I did, one day I was just in a silly sort of mood and went this route, called An Unwelcome House Guest. It was 10 years ago this very day that HIV came to stay. "Hi there," he said with a devious smile. "I've come to live with you for a while." There he sits, a shadowy specter. As house guests go, I'd rather Hannibal Lecter. Given the choice, I'd rather be sautéed or fried than to be eaten alive from the inside. HIV is here each day, doing his best to get in the way. When I try to sleep, he makes me sweat. If I want to remember, oh yeah, he makes me forget. When I'm happy, he makes me sad. If I feel good, he'll make me feel bad. He can be messy, he can be rude. Sometimes he makes me hurl my food. And what a headache he can inflict. Like by a mule, I'm getting kicked. The pills I take offer reprieve, but he only backs off. I want him to leave. HIV swears he's master of the house. I beg to differ, the miserable louse. Into my life that creep wants to barge, announcing that he thinks he's in charge. Hell no, no way. Can I say not ever? Who knows? But damn sure not today. This is my body and this is my home. It's him, not me, who needs to roam. I may have to scream, I might have to shout, but someday, HIV, I'm gonna kick you out.
Yeah. Wonderful. So,
yeah, I was in a perfectly silly mood on the subject one day, and just
you gotta laugh.
It was just like,
you gotta laugh.
You know, so, and that's the thing. Part of living is laughing, and even if it's like the most miserable stuff going on in your life, you know, once in a while, frelling out loud, it's, you know.
Yeah. My dad was, you know, talking about, when he was still alive, he was talking about his friends. I was talking about how many people I've lost and how odd that is, because at his age, he was starting to lose a lot of friends. And he said, talking about the black humor, and he said, well, you have to. He says, like, there's this one friend, he was dying of cancer, and they played golf. And so he was really had a hard time, but he went with them. And they'd say, yeah, it's a drag, you know, drag Charlie along, putt and then drag Charlie. Putt, drag Charlie. And they would say this to him and they'd all laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to.
You got to. So, what did you...
I got an addiction. Another one that... It has to... It actually is about the marriage thing in a roundabout way. Because I was thinking about an ex-lover, a lover who's gone now, dead. And... who may have been the love of my life, you know, and we were there right in the middle of the sexual revolution. And there's a mention in here of if we could have had a vow. So it's roundabout, but it's considering then and in terms of if there had been. So it's called For One I Loved During the Sexual Revolution. With all due consideration, the point of fact denied, the truth that really matters is that you never really tried to be true to what your heart was telling you, and so it was to yourself at last you lied. But all of that was long ago, long before your long, distant, early death within me did abide. I don't know why I'm still trying to tell the story from my side. Maybe in some other lifetime we'll get it right somehow. I guess we did our best to love each other. I guess I miss how much I loved you then right now. And if we do have another lifetime, I'd love to see what that time and place allow. For when the passion burned between us, there was no way to make that love a vow. But with everything that stood between us, we found a way to love each other anyhow. When so much received wisdom was revealed as lies, there was so much we needed to betray. And when there was so much to be explored to find some truth, it really seemed there was no other way to break the bonds that kept us from all the love there to free us from all the conditioning that then held sway. with all the need to love and be loved, and all the love that overflowed with all the countless other loved and loving ones to whom we gave ourselves away. It is no small miracle that we two found each other or took the time to have our fated love and choose to let it play. And that there was really something perfect in her love, after all is said and done, is all I really need to say.
Mm-hmm. I wish someone wrote something about that me someday.
Well,
I
hope you're still alive when they write it.
That would be good, yes.
That would be nice. Yeah.
And they could write it to you because you have been allowed to be married.
True.
Yeah.
I got a poem. This one's an angry poem.
Uh-oh.
You ever have those voices in your head that you want to just shut up?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always just the ones that, you know, the lies you tell yourself and you finally have to confront them, but sometimes when you don't want something to be true, but you have to admit it to yourself and you hate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this poem's about. It doesn't have a title, but I guess I'll start. Lie the parables and tell them again. Weep the pieces and together they fall alone. Creep the dreams and they whisper a sin. Fade the pain and the same is shown. Yell out loud and let them hear. Say it and smile as you hate. Let them feel and comprehend the nothing they mean and the nothing they are. Veil the truth and trap the soul. Steal the fear and keep it near. Kill the covet and make it whole. And grasp the gaps as it disappears. Scream until they hear you. Smile as you self-destruct. Let them feel the damage, too, of the nothing they've become.
It's kind of...
Yeah.
Sort of a painful revelations in that, you know, people revealing it themselves. And what they won't reveal, you know. And somebody needing to, like, there's almost a sense, for me, of somebody needing to reveal their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And somebody needing to reveal somebody else's stuff, almost. Mm-hmm. You know? Like somebody to expose the masks and stuff.
Well, it's always good when you... I mean, the stuff that's hardest to look at is generally the stuff you need to look at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. The whole idea that it's painful is so beside the point in terms of what finally happens if you go ahead and look at that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah,
that. That's true. I was kind of angry at when I finally looked at myself because I thought mm-hmm. I was one way, and then you take a look at yourself and you feel almost mm-hmm. disgusted at what so, you've led so yourself to believe. Because mm-hmm. you feed those thoughts in your mind for so long, you start to want to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get to the point where you absolutely cannot deny mm-hmm. whatever it is that you've been fighting against, it kind of a lost feeling.
Like being gay sometimes, when you're younger yeah. or something.
Yeah.
Anytime I have to say that anytime that I feel like I start believing other people's, you know, a little bit too much of people's, you know, put me on a pedestal stuff that occasionally happens in my life, all I have to do is be grounded by my friends, by my real friends who are not afraid to tell me what the bad sides of what I am.
Right.
You know,
but there's also, if you do it yourself, you're doing a favor to your friends and yourself and yeah. everybody. I mean, it is wonderful to have friends who call you on stuff, but,
I mean, you know. We have a mutual friend who, in a New York Minute, it's sort of our job mm-hmm. to call each other on each other's stuff, you know, and that's what he, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing, too, is with looking at stuff that's hard to look at is if, I think one of the things of having a good life is to continually get to be better and better friends with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sort of coming to terms with whatever cards you've been dealt. You
well,
know?
When I finally came to terms, I actually wrote a kind of a lighthearted follow-up to it.
There you go.
And,
see?
It's kind of... I guess I'll go ahead and read it. It's called...
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
It's called The Modern Me. I'm a man who can't afford to put my 2 cents in, but I'll take a penny for my thoughts. I won't be a free spirit or a rolling stone, but I can take a dive and I occasionally go with the flow. I'm not one to upgrade or update, but I can show you the downside of growing up. I'm somewhat unoriginal and unauthentic, but I am an individual and indivisible. I'm not the king of cool nor a knight in shining armor, but I can be a jack of all trades. I steal, I lie, but I also empathize. I'm not too hot to handle and not cool to the touch. I'm not broken or wasted, but I'm not ready to be used. I'm not well-weathered and wanted, but I'll wait for the storm to blow over. You can't download me, but we can make the connection. Nothing is easy in life, but I'm all for getting a slice. You can call that somewhat crazy, but what is that anyways?
Mm-hmm. You would make a good meditator.
Mm. Meditator?
Yeah. I mean, just from the way you write and what you have to say and the way your mind works, you would probably really enjoy meditation and find it really beneficial.
I have my reasons. I don't agree with the philosophy behind meditation.
There's not a particular philosophy. Well,
to me, the whole, what I understand about meditation is trying to be more conscious and know more about yourself. But when you're sleeping, you're the least conscious you ever are. So you bring yourself as close as possible to being
an
inert state.
That's not it. What you're doing is, your mind usually kicks up a storm at first, but it's letting your mind settle. But no, it's not at all about going into some bliss state or coma or yeah. You're very aware of what's going on around you. Anyway, not to get up on that.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this stuff tends to bring up things.
Yeah.
You know? Isn't that, for most of us, the point of what we do is to speak something, to get some emotion across.
Yeah.
No matter how foul that may be at times, you know.
And like you were saying, to just sort of try to see something a little bit more clearly than we did before we wrote it down.
Absolutely.
You got another one?
Yeah. Yeah, actually. That's one I called Birthday, because it was written on the occasion of one of my birthdays.
Uh-huh.
And it may sound sad to some people and melancholy, but I think it ends with a spark. And given a movie that recently came out that Scott and I actually got to see together.
Which one?
This will. You'll get it. Birthday. It goes by so fast now. One day, a child playing in the sandbox. Hours and days seem to pass so slowly. Eternity before the child. Each moment a toy, a fragile, joyous plaything. Then one by one, the friends, they go away. Santa, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny. Tragedy to lose that precious gift, innocence. Being allowed to see unicorns, hobbits, and fairy folk. Society, cold white queen, holds the stone dagger inscribed adulthood in her grasp. Magic becomes a memory, the sacred spiral horn, now replaced by the blaring one of a BMW on the 610 loop. Elven creatures made only of stone replace River Oak's politically incorrect lawn jockeys. And the fairy folk only a few T-cells from extinction. The years conspire to create the unending winter, yet in everyone there is that one chance, the slim hope for the stone table to crack, and the world will be young again. And with Aslan's roar, the deep magic will return, but only in the Narnian dreams and Turkish delight wishes of those too wise not to believe in fairy tales.
Beautiful.
It's like we get so wrapped up in everything that is adulthood. Mm-hmm. All the drama, all the daily stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And including the health issues that we have to deal with, the financial, all of that,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And it's like...
You forget to have time for yourself.
You forget to have time for yourself. You forget to, once in a while, remember... Try to remember what it was like before all that got dragged into your life.
Before everything had to be practical.
Before everything had to be practical.
When you can, I mean, and it's never too late to use your imagination.
Well, being a cartoonist,
absolutely.
I can totally sympathize with that. You know?
Okay, I got another one. Okay, this is not about, again, not about anybody, but just thinking about relationships in general and how I've shifted.
Mm.
My idealism is endless, but so is my despair. I rub them up against each other until both are beyond repair. I wasted the time you wanted. I've taken the attack. I've climbed upon the soapbox to address the love that you took back. Wonder why I even bothered, how much you really knew, so much left to the imagination, so easy to misconstrue. I've taken off my armor. I'm setting it aside. I'm trying not to struggle. I'm letting the events themselves decide. For nothing is surprising, it all comes from what came before. It's not that hard to understand, but it's all too easy to ignore. I'm taking no offense, Lacey, lately. There's nothing personal to it now. I just try to see how things are and then to wisdom bow. Wrong page. And then to wisdom bow. Although I don't always recognize what's right before my eyes, heartbreaking as I give in again to one of my favorite lies. But still, there is the beauty I see in almost everyone, the love I most often become from which I no longer run. I have no occupation, there's not much to decide. And what I've done is an open book, I've nothing left to hide. An angel of deliverance no longer frames my view. There's only the unfolding mystery of everything that's coming through. Here is how it happened. Here is what you said. It doesn't really matter now. I'm overwhelmed with love instead. Taken then to task by everything that life itself requires, each of us comes round at last, brought through the cleansing fires. So that's almost like part two to your poem in a funny sort of way.
In a sort of, whose turn? What do you got?
I got one last thing I'm going to read. It's not technically a poem, but, you know, when you get that new, I'm in love feeling with someone new, and it's all that fresh stuff, and you write that
big old
something that just comes
bliss.
And
all that,
it's all cheesy and stuff, but you just
good.
It's got
good.
That kind of it's
cheese
just a little
is good.
Prose.
Cheese is a good thing on occasion,
you
this
know.
Is a, this is,
and I'm in
as
a
long as you
relationship
have crackers
with a girl that
there you go.
We were talking about wine and cheese earlier. Go ahead.
In a relation with a girl now, and me and Jimmy spent probably an hour and a half talking about her last time I was over, and it's still kind of new for me. Or not new, but it still get that fresh feeling.
Really?
And by the way, Jimmy, while you're still here, hang out for a bit, will you? Hang out for a bit, will you, after he's done? Go ahead.
Right, this is about my girlfriend, Shannon. In the coming weeks, we will discover the difference between happiness and temporary contentment. Unfortunately for most, there is no definite way to differentiate the lines between lust and love. All we can hope for is that we will stay true to ourselves and even more so true to each other. Our thoughts may be permeated by one another, but our hearts must be. The trial of these times will establish the relationship that could flourish from what is now and what could be forever. All I ask is that when you take my hand, that you do not let go. When you hear my voice, you take my words for truth. Most of all, I ask that when you take my lips and hold them to yours, you know that my love for you is earnest.
Beautiful. Young love. I've got a stack of those. And then the bitter after poem. The 2 months later poem.
Well, hopefully.
When you're having the hallway sex by then, you know, passing each other in the hallway and saying, blank you.
I thought you meant literally jumping at each other in the hallway.
No,
I was thinking, that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, it does.
You can get a lot of weird angles.
When you get to the bitter part where you just want to pass each other in the hallway and say something foul to each other.
Or even worse, when you get those fake plastic conversations like, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah.
How are things?
I think I have a good friend who's starting to have that problem. I know I've read this poem on the air once or twice before, but the man's actually here, so what the heck? You know. With much love, can you... Are you having fun though in there? I just have to do it because it's the holidays and, you know. And I think about magic during the holidays and... This is Magical Radio Man.
All right. I wonder who that could be.
I wonder.
Me, right?
Yeah.
No.
So funny. Each time he enters the studio, the magic begins. It is set in motion by his very presence. A process repeated each week now for 18 years. Yet each week, he is frantic. Boy, this is a long time ago, this poem. The music is set. The guests take their seats. The equipment might actually be working. And the show begins. The man lets his listeners know that he is there for them. The open, the hidden, the out, the closeted. His voice lets the younger ones know they are not alone. Others of their kind are out there for them. This program, a part of his own survival, for a few precious hours. Personal health issues take a back seat to the needs of so many. He lives for this night. It keeps him alive. In terms, others will find the strength to survive. The power of his voice belies the frail appearance of his body. He is honesty, strength, and joy. For all the ills of mankind, this man has witnessed. The hate, the love, the great sorrows. The jaded eyes through which all this has been viewed can still be brought to tears at a kind word, an unsolicited hug. On this night, he has the power of true magic. Enchantment is inevitable, and we willingly submit to the glamoury of our magical radio man.
Yay! Perfect.
So,
couldn't have said it better myself.
That is a beautiful poem. And
what's really amazing is that
How many years ago did you write that?
I don't go back and change the words to these things often. So the original date, the original number is on here. Because the original thing says, for 12 years.
12 years. Wow.
Yeah. And I've had to add a few numbers to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like my poem, my first poem, the Who Am I poem. Which I've also read here.
It's just that,
you know,
I can't remember anybody saying any nicer words to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here we go with the waterworks and the mushy stuff. This came along, you know, when Scott introduced me to y'all. And, you know, he and I put each other through hell on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've also been the closest of friends. And he introduced me to y'all. I was going through some hell in my life.
Yes, you were.
Know? And
yes, you were. And I was 10 pounds heavier.
And you were 10 pounds heavier. And I was... And it was magic to see someone who... who had been through so much, and you have. I've been positive 10 years. You've been doing it a lot longer than that.
Yeah, 20-some. Yeah.
You know, and you're still here. You know, you've had some rough spots, especially recently, but you're still
frilling here.
Yes,
you know, you're still...
And I'm not going away.
Damn right, you're not allowed. It's just not allowed. I won't have it. And I know I've said this before, but you are like my other great gay grandfather. You know, I've been lucky enough to have two people I could call my gay grandfather, and you were, and being able to be a part of this has gotten me through a lot of stuff in my life.
And me too. When you picked up on that very early in our relationship. Mm. That I do live for this evening.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
It keeps me going.
As screwed up as some nights could be this station. And I remember...
some nights.
Great mother goddess, the number of times... How many times... I mean, we don't do it nearly as often as we used to, apparently, but how many times did you hit the wrong frilling button
for
the first song?
I'm famous
every time.
And especially if it's something serious, I'm making a dedication, and I hit the wrong
and somebody's
song. Yes.
And there it is.
Well, you know, y'all are talking about how it's helped keep y'all going.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, I mean, I knew both of you on the radio before I knew you in person in the flesh, and this radio show helped me keep going out there, and I'm sure there are listeners who you've never met at this show at times, certain nights sort of gets you through, and if, on other nights just sort of like is nice to have family and friends on the radio.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny that the three of us in particular here are connected by the same person.
Mm-hmm.
To
yeah,
this station.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Who is probably at this particular time a little annoyed with me. But you know. But I love him, and you know, he is the closest thing I have to a little brother.
Talk about
hard-headed queen.
Talk about somebody who's evolved. When I first met him,
God.
I can remember sitting at Charlie's and him insisting on telling me the entire plot line of a science fiction novel I was not interested in. And I was not going to get out of hearing the whole thing. There was other conversations.
I find that funny.
Doesn't do that anymore.
Just yesterday...
He
or
has his own stories now.
Like, was it yesterday or the day before, he was saying something about somebody being needlessly wordy. Some writer being needlessly wordy.
Ooh.
And that cracks me up. Anyhow, it's about that time.
Yeah, but I've seen him go from being a hatchling.
That's right.
With a drug problem.
Mm-hmm. To clean and sober.
To not only that, but intelligently mm-hmm. interviewing
mm-hmm.
Christopher Rice,
yeah. And in one of the best
incredible
interviews
thing
I have ever witnessed, and I was there live to see it unfold.
No, I mean, it's sort of like him getting sober was like watching a butterfly come out of a cocoon.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
I'm sure
it's amazing. It's amazing.
If by any chance he were actually listening at this hour, he's probably be cringing by now.
No, he would.
You know.
He knows we love him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
He does.
Yeah. And I got into it with him today, so. We do that every so often.
That's what friends do.
That's absolutely right.
Yes.
I remember this one kid came up to
it's time to wrap.
We have to wrap it up. Oh, my God, we have less than 2 minutes.
Yes. Time to go.
Oh, unfortunately.
Well,
yes. Well, we will be here next week.
Yeah.
With more of the same. But different.
So, don't let the holidays make you crazy. If somebody is making you crazy in front of you in line, say, I may that person be happy. Wish that they have true happiness if somebody's irritating you during
happy
the holidays.
Happy Yule.
There you go.
1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. And if the yolk's still a little runny, that's what you call fried over easy. Always talk quietly in the library. How you give a Zerbert? Some people have innies, some people have outies. Here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people.
If you're gonna be 2 hours late,
pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For a few quick pointers, visit actagainstviolence.org or call 877-ACT-WISE for a free brochure.
Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze.
Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, the American Psychological Association, and the Ad Council.
You've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.